Late night tonight.
Where is she?
A fellow cop leads Pepper into a trap on policewoman.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
After, it's very loud. After all the feedback I've been getting lately, I wanted to start with a video.
What?
I wanted to start the show with a video today. No, I've just been on social media too much in the last 24 hours.
You know what? A lot of people, Mike, don't give you credit for... You're quite the wordsmith when you apply yourself.
Yeah, I took a little care with that one last night. Yeah. But I also reached out to our friend, Mr. Mark Soto, and I'd like to say thank you, Mark, for, rejoining the fold. Much appreciated. And I liked, like I always say, if we have a personal exchange, it's nice to reach out. And
I've got to unblock. That's sad. So much.
Well,
stuff.
You can block. You don't have anything to do. We don't coordinate our blockages.
No, we don't.
You can keep anybody anywhere you want. But
we coordinate our blockages at the hospital, but not on social media.
Right. And it is what it is. But I mean that when you open up that hornet's nest, you get all the different feedback.
Sure.
And I thought that someone asked me, was that a sarcastic post or sardonic post? I think, that's the very definition of sardonic is what I did on that post. And it suits my bleak outlook on life in general and my fellow human beings, which, is expressed every day when I'm wearing this hat. Don't get happy. Society,
This is, that's not a word we use on this show a lot, bleak, and I like it.
It's just everybody, and then the naked trolls, and I think there was only one. So I think we're doing really, really well. So I'm very happy when it's just one pure troll. And you can identify, if you're ever worried about somebody who might be trolling you, you can usually, if you pop on their site, you can usually identify them by the last post they made was 1832.
Yeah,
that's usually the way you can figure that
also,
out.
Also, I've found that a nondescript status photo is always a red flag for me.
Absolutely.
Like if it's a picture of a flower or a pig or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. No an inanimate object. So, Josh, I did send you a video, and I'm curious, what did I caption it when I sent it to you? Because I want
you said
see if
some
that...
good advice.
Some good advice. You know what? It is good advice, and I think we need that in this day and age. So please share that with our listening audience right now. Here we go. I think you'll enjoy
it. It's a little bit of a reminder, a word to the wise.
Let's start it over again because you kind of clipped it at the beginning. Let's try it one more time.
He says it'll be a reminder. Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit of a reminder, a word to the wise, if you will. Do not worry about the worries from yesterday. Leave it in the past. Move forward with confidence because there are so many new things to be experienced today. New joy to be had. So move forward, be strong, and have a great rest of your day.
Why the tongue? The tongue is insanity.
The tongue takes it to the next level.
It's a great accent. Do you think the tongue
audio,
is...
That's audio. See, people can enjoy that, the impression,
But I am creeped out of what is that guy's day job. Like, am I going to bump into him at a 7-Eleven?
Can we see it just one more time, please? Yeah. I can't help myself. I need to see that again. Forgot how much I enjoyed it.
It's a little bit of a reminder. A word to the wise, if you will. Do not worry about the worries from yesterday. Leave it in the past. Move forward with confidence because there are so many new things to be experienced today. New joy to be had. So move forward, be strong, and have a great rest of your day.
That hurts my mouth.
To answer Josh's...
I'm laughing at that little piece. It's a wonderful piece of advice, though, I think.
I think that his job is probably he takes blood at a clinic. But he literally takes it.
I think
would you say... That's a Spanish accent, right? You're the more of the dialectician.
Russian.
Well, no, I mean,
of course it's a Spanish accent.
All right, do you think the tongue has to do with the Castilian?
Here's the tongue in the Spanish. If you say if you say that the Spanish dialect in many cases,
the
will
Castilian
say,
pronunciation,
sábado, yeah. domingo, they eat up on the tongue like that.
I guess you're right.
Buenos días, buenas tardes. You know that, so you kind of roll it together.
His lingua is an overachiever. I will say that.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's wonderful.
Shannon Fisher wants to know if he wears shoes or do they make him fall down.
I do not wear shoes. They make me fall down. Welcome to the show, and it's been an interesting week. It has been a very very interesting week, but I always feel good when at least to a certain extent I can reach out to somebody. I didn't reach out to the other person. They didn't reach out to me. They chose to continue the
passive aggressive, not listening.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that's it is what it is. I do have one question, and I will make it totally generic with no names. When someone says they've never been critical online, would you buy that necessarily from that other person?
Was there a but or until now?
No, it was just I think that Rob has a better memory than I have, and I would like to think that there have been moments in the past.
I think that the people that we're talking about, or at least I theorize that we're talking about, have been critical. And I would say that anyone in the world that has ever been on Facebook has criticized something.
Yes.
It's an outlet. It's where you talk about
this show. But this show, and I think me personally, and you know,
oh, I'm sure.
I know there have been the messages, I think, but sure. I didn't choose to do so. I mean, I don't think that. I guess the point I'm trying to make is it doesn't come out of left field sometimes when I'm like, oh God, where I do the eye roll and all that. Mm-hmm. But with the other, with the originator, not the case. Just kind of, you know, fun, and it was really a kind exchange, and I think
that's good.
I can share
because one on one is always better.
Yeah,
it is always better.
As a rule, our listeners are great. I mean, there is a few noisy outliers, but as a rule, everyone you meet, everyone you talk to, is sensational.
Right. I don't have to, you know, mention names. It doesn't matter though, because I don't feel as though I'm giving anything away. But I really thought, I want people to know that, you know, there is a bit of a tone that I take when I choose to reach out to somebody, because I thought that, it was, let me share it. This is what,
okay.
This is a whole pocket of nicey-nice here. All right.
Great.
So I say, hi, person. I just wanted to say that I understand your frustration with the current state of the world. Please don't misconstrue my dialogue with Josh to be acceptance of the current Nazi regime. there are a lot of people that'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
I have read your recent posts and find them measured, without hate. And that's why I am reaching out. I know you are a longtime listener, and I just wanted to apologize for going off. I too am frustrated by the bigots and incompetence in our government. And you know, don't give me pop-ups. Josh and I coexist because he and I make an effort to show respect to each other. That is not always easy, but I do try to give him a lane, and he knows that I need to vent as well. I hope you will reconsider your decision to bail on the show, because I, like Dirk, really think you are a good guy. I wouldn't reach out if I didn't believe that. And then I mentioned somebody else has butted heads with us on the show before and has been preachy before, so that's a different case. The most important thing I wanted you to understand is that I feel your pain and understand your frustration. I just handle my show the way I feel I need to. I hope you give us another chance, and let's see. Another chance, and believe me, I too want to stop with the politics for a while. Thanks for your support. And then very shortly thereafter, hi, Mike. Thanks for reaching out. As I said on Facebook yesterday, I'm sorry for the manner in which I chose to express my frustrations. You're right. I should have addressed this directly with you. I may not have been as clear as I thought I was being when I mentioned politics. Like Rob, I too long for the days when the Gipper and Tip would hash out political differences. It seems those days are over. Would agree with that. As yeah. you know, you and I are simpatico on our political positions. I do understand that you have to get along with Josh. I'm glad you do. Just like Josh and I agree on religion and our love of the orange and black baseball teams, you and Josh no doubt share a lot in common. We do. As well yeah. as I've probably beaten this to death, but my frustration comes when I feel he's merely spewing false right-wing talking points.
I'm told that's all I say.
He talking absolutely points. Has yeah. The right to speak his mind, but with what we're witnessing to our country right now, it's tough to hear things that seem like they were written by Stephen Miller. At times, I also would like to apologize for tagging sad into one I wrote that was passive-aggressive.
Sad.
We're all passive-aggressive.
Yeah, you're right.
When I have looked. So he goes on and on. But it was nice, and what did he say at the end? I'm not going anywhere. And look forward to seeing
nice.
My Giants beat your Red Sox in the World Series this year. Again, thanks for your kind words. Bam. That's yeah. how you do it.
And if you want to hear nice. Josh.
And I appreciate that for Mark. Thank you, Mark.
If you really want to hear Josh spout his rhetoric, watch our movie show, Hicks, Nick, Sticks, Picks. He is out of control.
Sure. I'm not quite sure that, you know, the thing that's interesting about Josh and I, and Josh has said this, I think you've said this, correct me if I'm wrong, you yeah. have gotten... you have gotten a lot of crap from like-minded people, just like I've gotten crap
oh, yeah.
from like-minded
oh, yeah.
people. And, there are people out there that don't like us having a dialogue. There are. That's just the climate we live in.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
the way it goes.
But I think what people don't understand is you and I are more likely to fight and argue over baseball than politics.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
We're just going to move on.
We move on. And because, I mean, there's enough, as far as the show is concerned, one of the reasons I... don't dwell on it is A, I really don't have that in me as much as I used to, and B, everybody's doing that. That's everywhere.
Yep.
And that you can get that in plenty of places that do it better than we do. And
yeah.
so, but with that said, and I think everybody on the show understands that I vent. I like to vent. And it is interesting, I wrote this down when I was doing my show prep today, let me see if I was talking to, we're taping two today, so I might have written it in the other place. But we vent, and I vent, and I think one of the reasons we get the crap we do is because of, I like to think, the accessibility of our personas. I think yeah. that you know an awful lot about yeah. us.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of self-analysis, a lot more than many, many more successful shows. You don't hear a lot of self-analysis on, you know, even on Howard. And Howard yeah. has a very, very open show and an honest show. But Howard has that wall built a little higher than I do. But Howard's great at what he does. And Joe Rogan's great at what he does. But we kind of just... You know, in the self-deprecating area, I think we do it more than a lot of people. I said
yesterday, I think in the most recent years, we are more like ourselves on the show than we've ever been. I mean, this is really us. We're not putting anything on as a rule. And when you let them in, perhaps they feel like they have a little more importance or sway than they do. Not to say that I don't love the listeners. I think they're great, and I'm friends with a lot of them.
Dialing that da-da-da-da.
What is that?
No.
I heard like da-da-da-da-da. Like,
no, I don't hear anything up here.
No. There it is.
Are you drumming?
I didn't even move when I heard it there.
Okay. Is it the heat?
That's me. I was just doing it. I was just drumming.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. No, no.
Yeah,
but yeah,
ADD.
But yeah, I mean, it's a very intimate medium, and people, you know, they get closer to you than they have in other mediums, and particularly now. And I just feel that, you know, it is one of the charming things about the show. It's one of the better things about the show. This is a pretty real show, folks.
Yeah, and politics don't come up to teach anyone or win an argument. It's just top of mind as we share who we are. Yeah, I did send Mike a guest request yesterday that I knew would piss him off.
But I don't know who you were sending me, but you explained what it was, and I said, no, timing is everything. Yes. You know, absolutely.
That's what I thought, too.
I turned him down before even sending him over to you.
Who is, what is the Benny Show?
The Benny Show is like, it's a YouTube show. It's probably a Rumble show. It's probably not YouTube. It's probably Rumble. Mm-hmm. And it is a Fox News alternative. One of the guys that can call Trump up anytime to get him on the podcast with a phone call.
Oh, my. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, can you bring up a picture of Benny? I'd like to see if I recognize.
Mike, I like the old days when we said the Benny Show. We were referring to Jack Benny on CBS. That's the Benny Show. I like. Oh, Rochester.
You know, I go back and I look at that, and I that's one where I'm not sure as time has passed, whether I appreciate him more or not. I'm not quite sure.
I 100% do more.
Okay. All right. Well, of course you do. I mean, you know.
I've always held him in high regard, but when you watch the way his show was constructed, I think it's actually sort of Seinfeldian. Because he plays himself.
About the look to camera, you know, playing the camera, that was very, very good. Let's talk about a TV reco that Rob gave me.
Well, do you want to see this guy?
Is this the Benny guy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is the Benny guy that requested to come on the show.
At least he doesn't wrap himself in the flag.
Many
wars have been fought under that flag, Mike.
Wrote him back. I said, keep up the good work. It's going to be a pass for us.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's good. You know. Getting back to Rob's reco, the show Best Medicine takes place in Maine. Mm-hmm. Rob indicated that it might take place like up near Bar Harbor, and based on some of the fictitious names for the towns and places, I said, oh, yeah, this might be for me. And so when I had a moment, I decided let's dive in, because I really like the star of the show, because he was on The Good Wife. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what his name is. Is he another Josh? Josh Charles. Rob, you did not warn me about something that immediately disqualified that show for me.
What is that?
Annie Potts.
Oh, but she's not being Annie Pottsy very much.
Oh, God, she's being every inch Annie Potts-y.
When I think Annie Potts, I think of her as the secretary in Ghostbusters, the receptionist in Ghostbusters. That's the Annie Potts that you don't want.
When I see your love for this, and Josh, I know you're watching it too. I appreciate that, but this really, if I can just have a moment with my cohort, Mr. Spiewak here right now. This is why I really think you missed your calling. I think you should be a drag queen. I really, really do.
Oh, not with this face. No.
I think that show, you had warned me. You said the jive factor would be there. And I couldn't survive it. I could not get past it. I could not get past the jive with.
There's just not a lot to watch right now, and I thought I'd take
out of
a
the
risk.
Woods.
Of,
manufactured contrivance, you know?
A couple episodes.
Yeah. And you also, you started on episode four. You started on episode four.
I did?
Yeah, with the guy coming out of the woods, the what was his name, Brash or Slash or whatever.
Oh, okay. So I jumped ahead. Well, then maybe I'm glad I did. Your opinion of that particular episode? Come on, be honest.
I liked it because it showed, Northern Exposure and shows like that. I think Picket Fences was a little bit like this, although
I didn't watch it.
Lots of supporting characters
at
that
the
I
most
liked.
Recently released episode. On Vi- and I am here to say that I did. That's not giving a show a fair shake. Would that be a weaker episode that I watched? Four?
I would say of the four, that's not. Yeah, that's probably the weakest. But I still liked it.
And I think starting at the beginning does a better job of introducing the town and the people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be able to make a judgment call on that. You know what? I plan to give it another shot.
The contrivance with the food inspector. Well, Annie Potts.
Annie Potts was the worst part of Ghostbusters.
If you can just compartmentalize Annie Potts out of the show, the contrivance of the restaurant being investigated, I did not like that plot line. Yeah. I didn't like that. That felt really contrived. But there are other plot lines in the first three episodes. The first three episodes that I think you will like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll be fair. And
is it better than Begonia?
Begonia, the Emma Thompson movie?
Mike, I misspoke when I said Emma Thompson. It's Emma Stone. It's another Emma.
Oh, Emma Stone. Oh, yeah. You said Emma Thompson. Bob.
I know. I forgot.
That would be why I couldn't find the movie.
Well, Mike, I corrected it before we went on the radio. I mean, I said the wrong Emma. When we were talking in the pre-show.
No, you just corrected it now.
Yeah, told us pre-show Emma Thompson. I've been Googling.
You told us pre-show Emma Thompson.
Yeah, but I said that, but I Googled it since then.
Wrong. Right. You did it. You said it before, and that's why I said, I totally agree with you on that
right.
one.
You did not fix it before the show.
All right. Well, my apologies. It still sucks. The movie Begonia.
I don't think Begonia and the Emma Thompson movie are in the same ballpark at all. Emma Thompson's latest movie is Jive. Begonia is weird.
Too weird.
I think I might agree with you. I didn't come in and give it a rave. It's like, you know, when we're trying to, you know, get people. We need, I believe, this discussion proves it. We need desperately a landman.
Yes.
So everybody can get on the same page and share. And they're so hard to find now. They're so few and far between.
It is a real, real wasteland out there right now.
It is a
like
slog.
10 minutes of looking through all the streamers.
And I will go so far as to tell you that my algorithms on my surfing on YouTube, you got to help me out here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like watching a guy at a slot machine as much as the next, but you are just inundating me with this crap and I cannot stand it. And by the way, another thing I want to mention, if I want to watch an execution, I want to watch an execution. Okay.
You've been saying this for years, Mike.
Rob knows that I get a kind of a kick out of watching Nazis executed.
I don't think you can find that on YouTube. You're going to need a different app.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, but I don't like those apps. Is that
on Rumble also?
Probably.
I don't like the apps. You know what? I don't want it. No, please don't do that. Don't send me anything. Please, people.
Mike,
please don't.
You can close your eyes and imagine a Nazi execution better than any film.
I can. You're absolutely right. And what else would there be? I'm kind of burned out on all the things that I surf. I'm burned out on Buddy Rich. I'm burned out on my weird taste. I'm burned out on slot machines. I am burned out on touring luxury boats.
What about bikini fishing women?
Oh, can I say one last thing about the hate that we got this week? You know, I hope you enjoyed the allusion to the criticize me for living in a house. those are my all-time favorite, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty tough to hear that when, you know, the show would be better if they're living in a house, 2,000 square feet. That's a big ass. It's like, sure, there are bigger ones and there are smaller ones. I get that.
I think it's crazy that you live in a house. I was incensed when last time I visited you. You feed your family. There's food in the house. Yeah,
you know it's
horrible,
frustrating to read those kind of comments. You know when I'm getting denied for a home equity loan yesterday. You know, I mean it's really
oh no. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they seem to think a late payment in June means I have to wait all the way a full year before they can unpry that little cash into my hot little hands. There you go. So,
Mike, there's a lot of places
too, pal.
There's a lot of places that you can get the money. Have you ever heard this phrase? Your job's your credit.
Yeah, not going to happen. I got in 24 hours two of the most, as far as the generations are concerned. What is the generation of guys in their 20s? What would that generation?
So that would be born in 2006.
And so Catherine was born in 1997.
So Generation
95,
Z.
Rather.
Yeah.
Generation Z is 1997 to 2012.
Okay, so that's Z.
Then that is Alpha. Alpha is 2013 to current.
Then
Mike,
Generation
Z. You are a baby boomer. because it's the 20 years after the war, and I'm right in the middle of Generation X in 1971.
And I'm on the tail end of X.
All right, Generation Z is what we're talking about. So I got pure Generation Z with the guy on the phone, whose name was Josh. Sorry, Josh, but that's what his real name was. And
it's the theme of today.
The what you get a lot of times, name. Josh, you got to center yourself on camera a little bit.
I'm reading the other screen for the generations.
Okay, Generation Z. I got one at the at the Pick Your Pocket company yesterday, and it was this disinterested kind of. And right before I didn't have the information he needed, and I was going to get off the phone and call him back. I asked him this question. Can I ask you a question? And I'd like you to be honest, and I'm not trying to bust your chops. Do you like what you do? And this was,
no, you can't ask Matt.
I did. And this is the response I get.
Hello?
Yeah. Just the call was recorded for quality assurance.
Really? I just want to make sure.
Yeah. And, work from home and, wouldn't do it any other way.
I said, okay, well, you know what? And this got a reaction, a positive reaction from me. I said, you know, I'm not sure why I like you, but I like you. And I hear,
wow.
And then,
intimacy.
But at the end, he kind of told me to pound sand. He was going to farm me off to another. Like,
all right, you got to wait till June. I do homes. There are other people that might be able to help you out. I can transfer you over there, but that's right. So.
And then, thanks, Josh.
I've asked that very question before, but this is a perfect situation, Mike.
What are you talking about?
About do you like what you do when I'm dealing with people like that? Mm-hmm, But then also, I don't do it when I'm actually asking something of them. I do it when they are, annoying me. It's usually an incoming call when I give them grief.
Okay.
But that is a situation of you want him to like you, and he wants to like you.
Right.
But it just can't happen because of the stumbling block in the middle.
Sure. And I'm fine with that. But I went away, and there was no animosity.
You didn't accept the transfer?
No, I did not. No,
because
you and Josh ate lunch later.
I smelled a rat with the transfer, Rob. I think that was a decent instinct. I said that was going to a totally different. No, yeah. It's not interesting.
You're right.
In my case, my homes, plural, that'll piss the guy off, are my credit.
Okay,
that's really the way I look at it. And as far as, so later in the day, I took my kid to get some swings in at the place we call D-Bat, which is the
must be nice cages. To have all that money to be able to go to D-Bat whenever you want.
Anytime Jesus. I want. I have a monthly subscription.
Oh, that's a good $60.
So I go there and through batting practice in one of the cages to my kid, and as I'm coming out, I laid it on one of the private coaches in the cage next door. I said, I'm too old for this. And then it went over, and he gave me a nice little lap. And then the Gen Zer behind the counter. Yeah. Let me see if I can.
Oh, backwards hat.
And sitting there like the.
Low in his chair, hat backwards and crooked somehow.
And,
yeah.
And I came out and I said, I'm too old for this. 66, throwing batting practice, not what it used to be. And the comment was, you get him a private lesson. And I so, at that very moment,
you should have gone over the counter, Mike, like in a Western movie.
I really wanted to say, why don't you just bite my ass?
Private lesson in being a human.
Right. He could have had worse responses.
Yeah.
He could have said, then his dad should help.
That would have been funny, though. That would have made me laugh. But this is on the heels of my daughter expressing frustration over her staff. My daughter now in her 30s and being, employing a bunch of guys in their 20s.
Yeah.
And she was railing at the, I think the way she put it, she said, I am reasonably sure that Generation Alpha has a better work ethic than Generation Z. Apparently, the Catherine was 1995. Would that be millennial?
That'd be millennial.
Yeah.
So Catherine believes that the Generation Z people are entitled, don't like
they
to
are.
Work, complain. Okay, so you
they
you
are because I've managed these, Z-ers I've work managed for you, these right? people, and okay. I thought it was a Florida thing at first until I started talking with people that it is that generation where they have no desire to move out of their homes with their parents. They have no desire to get married and build a family. They've got no desire to, like, what we would always call, like, grow up and be a better human. There's no desire to
I hate change. When people say adulting, like it's something. You
well,
know,
I do it as a joke. I did it as a joke. I said that to Connor. My,
but for them, it's serious.
The boyfriend of my Elizabeth.
But they really mean it. And they've got, they've been through the COVID at a very key time, usually in their education.
I have one daughter in, I have one daughter born in 95. The other one was 97. Does that make her a Gen Zer?
97 is the beginning of Gen Z.
Okay.
Did, there is a move now.
I said, hey, isn't it time to start adulting?
I have read, multiple articles trying to normalize the idea of a stay at home son. The idea is you go to college, you come back and live at home. You don't get a job. Your job is to take care of your parents. And you just stay at home and play video games. But you do the laundry for them. You do the dishes and clean up around the house.
Does your son do any of that for you, Rob?
He cooks. He cleans. He does dishes. But also, that's not fair to loop him in with that because he has a job. He's got
a
job.
Goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, the job doesn't count if you're living at home. Anybody, he's fresh out of school.
What are his
long-term plans?
Right now, I would say it's leaning, and I couldn't be more happy, towards education. But as a teacher's assistant...
He will live with you for 20 years. He will
live
in your home until you die.
There are worse things that could happen.
There you go. And that's the way I would probably
feel that way. But right now, he came to me very upset because he was mentioning he was measuring his student loans against... what he makes as a teacher's assistant. And I said, you really should have gone to school in state. Like I said 5 years ago. But that aside, you know, it's just not feasible right now for the amount of money he paid for his piece of paper, the diploma.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I understand
I think that's fair when you're talking about kids that, you know, especially with the whole student loan thing, that's a tough thing.
And he's not putting the debt on us either. He wants to take care of it.
Right tap dancer. What is that?
What the
hell? Why did Rolando? What did you mean? Who's tap dancing, Rolando?
I think tap dancing around Robert, maybe, I guess. But no, Robert doesn't fall into this because he's got that goal of certification and full-time teacher and all that.
Out here. He plays in the
Oh, he's a good S, Mike. He digs, he runs.
But Gen Z, that Catherine was complaining about it and saying and Catherine says this, they're so soft.
Yeah.
They are so protected, soft.
Things have gotten so much easier in the past 25. We talked about the friction thing yesterday.
There's
little friction.
Well, and Gen Z is the type who their parent brings them to the job interview. That's a Gen Z.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. And so you've had a bunch of them work for you, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. I see.
And they don't last if you put some pressure on them.
Now, this was when you were running the massage parlor, or where was this?
This would be normal. This would be field technicians for audio video company.
Oh, that's hard work. They're not going to do that.
I once had a kid. I had him climb under a house into like a crawl space to run a wire.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And he did it, and he came out and removed his shirt and his pants and said, I quit, and got in his car and drove off because they were muddy.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, a little soft.
It happens, and, you know, I think in fairness, we have to mention the financial climate right now. It's certainly not what it was when I came out of college.
Of course.
You know, I think it was, we had an
It was right before the stock market crash and America was thrillingly exciting.
Right. We know it's hard to buy a house and all. It's the attitude.
Yeah.
The attitude is you don't want to advance.
Yeah. I was able to come out of college, get a job while I was still in college, transition into that being a full-time job, then move up the ladder of my career, and then go into management. And during that time period, at the age of 25, 26, buy a house.
Yeah.
And a house that was, are you ready for this? A house that was, I think, $56,000. And
oh, the price of a moderate Chevrolet.
You can get a down payment on a truck for that now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where we are. With yeah, that
I was, I was, we had bought a house when I was 26 and I lived at home for, I think, maybe a year or a little less. After.
And you're one generation after me, right?
Yeah, yeah,
you're,
exactly.
What is yours called?
Generation X.
Generation X. All right.
Yeah, 61 to 81 or 60 to 80, depending at what break you look at.
And same with me. I bought a house 25, 26.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as far as the Generation Alpha, my son's age, I do believe they are going to be better than Gen Z simply because of the work ethic, because they are aware, much more aware of all the pitfalls and all the trouble and everything that's out there.
How about this, Mike? Do you think
they're thicker skinned too, in my humble opinion?
I know that you have your opinions about the greatest generation, that is 1925 to 1945, the one that preceded you. You call them entitled, and I have no disagreement here.
Yeah.
That do you think that the sort of resilience—
Maybe a little earlier than that, too, because the greatest generation would be born a little earlier than that, World War II veterans in particular, the greatest generation. It's the people that are the progeny, the boomers.
Right, the boomers is the problem.
The boomers we're the worst of worst. I mean, I believe that with all of my soul. You see the way.
Do you think that has to do with the way the greatest generation had to deal with war and depression?
Oh, and the Great Depression.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, I've done a 100%. Lot of reading about it, Mike. It's not that great. It was horrible.
Sometimes, we've been heavy all week, so that's why I didn't bring this to the show. And it was a video, and it practically was a documentary of a Russian prisoner of war at, I forgot the name of the concentration camp that he was held at, and there was a Russian barracks and an American barracks, and the Americans got Red Cross deliveries of food. Mm-hmm. The Russians did not. The Russians were literally starving to death, and they worked out a system of the Americans getting the Russians food products through a very, complicated method of smuggling that they
intricate,
got it.
Yeah.
And it just, they interviewed a couple of this is a clip, why it showed up on my feed, I don't know, but it goes all the way back to the 80s with, I think it was 1988, with Charles Kuralt doing the piece on
CBS. He had several
CBS.
Families.
And the thing about this is that you just looked at the real courage and these real men and people that sacrificed. It was a generation born out of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. They didn't talk about it. And the Russian goes back and forth. It is absolutely incredible how this story developed, where they interviewed this Russian guy who wanted to see Charles Kuralt, wanted an American reporter so he could tell him the story of these American POWs that helped. And they were able to track them down, and then they were actually able, this is a big deal back in the 80s, to fly the guy to Russia to meet with the prisoner that he helped. He was a dentist in Russia, and he had been a dental officer in the Russian army. And it was absolutely astonishing. Not only the Americans that helped this Russian POW, but the fact that the POW had kept it in his heart and reached out after all these years. And you're just looking at, oh my God, you're looking at special human beings here. You're looking at people, and we don't have nearly enough of that.
I have a question.
Any of that. It's astonishing. The children of the greatest generation. And this is my generation. I'm sorry. I see it every day down here, living down here. There is so much cowardice, so much entitlement.
Entitlement, yeah.
Self-importance. People that just don't acknowledge others and their value It's incredible. Go ahead, Josh. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I think there is a self-importance there. And I think you see, and what I hear from other people is they don't want to be grandparents. So therefore, they're not there helping because they're like, oh, I'm free. I'm my own person.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that too, Mike, your take on the
not
fact
my
that
kids. My parents are great.
I mean, mm-hmm. whenever you see there. Like, 60 is the new 40 or whatever, or the fact that now, and it's not always just because of health, people are not embracing the fact that they're aging. And because of that, I think a lot of people are stuck thinking that they're younger than they are. You know, because if you're 50 and you're acting the way your parents did when they were 25, you're going to say, hey, you know what? I'm still young, but you're still aging. And
I'm an anomaly because I've done things later in life. And I really now, I mean, I have, and this is the truth, folks. I have my free time that I used to talk about all the time. But really, you know, Carla goes out and slays the dragon every day. And I really have taken a lot of the responsibilities mm-hmm. of, you know, being the chief chauffeur in charge. And I love every minute of it. And if either of my daughters came to me and told me that, you know, they were going to get married and have a child, I couldn't even describe to you how my priorities, I would run to that. I would love every minute of that. I think you do have a point. I've heard it down here where, you know, they were here for 3 days. Oh, my God. Eye roll, and it's just,
You got three heads here on your screen that family's very important to them.
Yeah.
And like I started to see it in college when people would dread going home for the weekend because they hated their family. Yeah. And I don't know if that's something that's always happened or something that is sort of native to Generation X. But if you are, you know, I think that the family structure as it's been for the last 6,000 years is pretty good. You know, you look, you help your kids, you help your grandkids, they help you.
You want to check
you spend
out a
time
film.
With them.
Robin, I love this movie. If you want to check out a film that kind of shows you what happened, look at Avalon.
It's a
beautiful movie, and it really kind of shows you where it all started, the mm-hmm. disintegration a little bit. So anyway, we rambled on. What a weird week, right?
It's been a weird week. Yes.
It's been a very, very
You know
odd
why?
Week.
Because you're a baby boomer, and that's the way
that's
you talk.
That's it. That's right. I'm just entitled.
You are.
It's just cold weather.
I know. And, well, it is the cold weather. Heat. Never been on more than it's been on now. I'm so excited to tell you about our sponsor, Avocado Green Mattress. I know for a fact how important a quality mattress is to our sleep, mood, and overall health. Avocado certified organic mattresses, pillows, and solid wood furniture are made without harmful chemicals, with thoughtfully chosen materials designed to support healthier living and more restorative sleep. A great mattress is the key to great sleep, and the Avocado mattress can give you the best sleep of your life. Better sleep changes your mornings, your energy, and can improve the quality of your entire day. Avocado's mattresses are built to last with durable, high-quality materials. Their products are an investment in long-term vitality, not a short-term fix. Invest in your comfort. Every product is thoughtfully made with the planet in mind, so you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you bring into your home. Plus, they offer easy financing options with Affirm to make your purchase easy. Plus, no regrets ever. Avocado sleep trials of up to 1 year ensure you're getting the best mattress for you. Avocado, dream of better. And now they're having a great sale on mattresses. Go to avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS to get up to 15% off. That's avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS for up to 15% off mattresses. Avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS because you can use the snooze. Every year I tell myself I'll get better about meal planning, and every year life gets busy and it falls apart. What finally clicked for me is realizing that meals don't have to look one specific way. They just have to fit your life. That's what Marley Spoon does. Marley Spoon actually adapts with you. Some nights you cook, some nights you heat, some nights you just need dinner done fast. And they've got options for all of it. Meals fit your schedule, not the other way around. Everything chef designed, made with quality ingredients and balanced enough to feel good about. And for those nights when you need dinner like yesterday, Marley Spoon's prepared meals are exactly what they sound like. Convenient, delicious, and on the table fast. And if you've got a few extra minutes, they have some great 20-minute options too. My personal favorite hack, the tray bake dinners. You literally throw everything in one tray and boom, you're done. They even include the tray. My favorite recent meal from Marley Spoon was their barbecue chicken with pimento cheese grits. But don't sleep on the meatloaf with creamy mustard sauce. Outstanding. This new year, fast track your way to eating well with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/TMOS for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/TMOS for up to 25 free meals. Let's eat.
This episode is sponsored by Kalshi, the largest prediction market in the United States. Kalshi lets you trade on real-world events, not against a sports book, but peer-to-peer, like a market. You're trading directly with other users, not the house. Here's how it works. If you think something will happen, you buy a yes contract. If you think it won't happen, you buy a no contract. It could be sports outcomes, entertainment awards, even political events. And just like stocks, you can get in and out at any time. Lock in gains or limit your losses based on how things are moving. Kalshi also lets you combine multiple predictions into combos, giving you the chance to multiply your payouts by being right across different events. In short, Kalshi is where you put your money where your prediction is. Download the Kalshi app or go to kalshi.com/r/SB60 and use the promo code SB60. When you deposit $100, you'll get $10 free to start trading. That's kalshi.com/r/SB60, promo code SB60.
Hey, it seems like lately everyone's trying to clean up their habits. Rob is the same way, and honestly, having one less drink has never felt easier for him. Instead of pouring a cocktail, Rob has been reaching for Soul's out-of-office drinks. Soul makes feeling good simple, and they taste good too, right, Rob?
Oh, you my God, the raspberry lemonade is like a delightful soda. As a matter of fact, it's sometimes hard to stop after one or two, and you have to because they're quite effective.
They hit you hard and fast.
They make
delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable, feel-good effects. Soul is the alcohol alternative that puts you in control of your mood, and their best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable calming buzz from a 1.5 milligram microdose for a gentle lift to 15 milligrams for a tsunami of a high.
Josh is on 15 right now.
No, it's a deeper, more elevated experience. Josh is a gummy guy. He knows it's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next day regret of alcohol. You wake up feeling rested, relaxed, and ready to go. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS. For 30% off. It's all about Soul.
It is all about Soul.
So hit it. So hit it.
Nielsen. I think It's All About Soul, Mike, might have been Billy Joel's entrance into mediocrity.
Yeah. In the middle of the night. Nielsen released its year-end streaming numbers. This is really the ratings we now pay attention to.
Sure.
As expected, Stranger Things was a monster, but it wasn't the monster. People streamed 40 billion minutes of Stranger Things. I love that metric. But that was only good for third place in 2025. And I bring
Did any of us watch Stranger Things, the newest season?
I didn't.
I bailed after two, I think. Yeah.
Stranger Things was third place. If you have young kids, this to me is what we are. If you have young kids, you probably guess who came in first. Would anybody like to throw a guess out there? I don't have really young kids, but
really young kids.
This is for little bitties.
Is it still Bluey?
It's Bluey.
Hey, there you go. Good job, Josh.
More than 45 minutes. Grey's Anatomy came in second. Almost 41 billion watch Grey's Anatomy.
Who are
still
these people that are still watching this show?
Who?
I didn't like it when
people.
Did you like it when it was like current and hot?
Never watched it.
No, me neither.
Rounding out the top five, NCIS with 37 billion
minutes.
These
are made up stats. They've got to be.
And SpongeBob SquarePants, 34.4 billion.
I buy that one.
And now the movies with the most minutes.
All right, so we didn't watch any of the top five shows of the year.
All right, K-pop Demon Hunters was
Tried to watch it. Couldn't make it through.
People watched more than 20.5 billion minutes of it. There it is. Nielsen split movies into two categories, kids and general interest. K-pop Demon Hunters, number one on the kids list, followed by Moana 2 with 9.4 billion minutes. That's a big drop off.
So much better than the first one, yeah.
Despicable Me 4, I watched that in theaters, I believe.
Yeah.
As for general interest, Happy Gilmore 2 tops the list with about 7 billion minutes. Wicked, and let's see.
All of the movies Josh has seen.
I've seen,
and the Jamie Foxx, Cameron Diaz spy comedy, Back in Action.
I did not
watch Back in Action. I did like Happy Gilmore 2, so you can color me guilty as well.
I enjoyed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike saying this, not the other two, but I will say, you want to know why we're getting crap? We get crap because we eat crap up, just like our food, just like our
Who was your five-star chef or your noted chef that talked to you about that, about the food we get?
His name, Rob, I'm glad you brought it up, was a gentleman named Gerald Pengel. He was a narcissist and a talented Michelin chef. And he said to me at one point, "Do you know why Americans get bad food?" I said, "No, Gerard. Why do they get bad food?" "Because you accept it."
It's a valid thing in many sort of formats. We do accept a lot of crap.
I think it is. According to a new report, 50% of hiring managers are expecting employee turnover to climb in 2026. Those expectations are notably higher than a year ago when it was about 10% less, 39%, and 2 years ago when it was 33%. And the financial impacts are also rising. The average cost of an employee leaving has jumped to more than $45,200, which is up sharply from $36,700 last year. I don't know where they
Mike,
get these
that's
stats.
That's a lot of money, especially if he's the only guy who knows how to edit audio at your company.
Turnover sounds like it'll be a bigger deal at larger organizations. Thank God. 64% of companies with 500 or more employees expect turnover to rise, while it's less intense for smaller businesses. The reasons for more turnover include increased workplace demands, a competitive job market, better pay and benefits offered elsewhere, and employees switching careers.
Now, has it touched the tech industry? Because I've always been interested in Apple turnover.
This is sad, but we bring it to you because, you know, I think his wife has done well, and she deserves support, and she gets attention because he's a star. Bruce Willis doesn't know that he has dementia, at least according to his wife, Emma Heming Willis. Bruce's family shared in 2023 that he has frontotemporal dementia, FTD for short. Emma says Bruce never connected the dots that he has this disease because of a condition called anosognosia. I hope I didn't massacre that too bad. It's when the brain can't identify what's happening to it. So sad. It's common in patients with FTD and other types of dementia. She adds, quote, "Where people think this might be denial, where they don't want to go to the doctor because they're like, I'm fine. Actually, this is that condition that comes into play. That's the blessing and the curse of this, that Bruce never tagged it, never tapped it. She's really happy he doesn't know about it.
I hate that he's sick. I love the fact that he seems to be unaware of it, if she says is true.
Still very present the Christmas, in his own body. He is, yes.
Over Christmas, I watched all the Die Hards, and I watched some Moonlighting, too.
Yep.
And he was one of the last movie stars, I think.
Yeah,
he was dynamic and fun and a great guest. I even ended up naming my daughter her middle name after him from his character in Moonlighting. I'm a big fan, and it's sad to me that we don't have him anymore.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can say anything good about his condition pleases me greatly.
His wife, Emma, says Bruce still knows who she is, but the way he connects with her and their kids is different than someone who would typically connect with their loved ones. It's still very beautiful and meaningful. You just learn how to adapt. God bless her. And that's a lot to deal with. Did Bill Cosby actually admit under oath that he got his hands on Quaaludes solely for the purposes of drugging women so he could have sex with them?
TMZ. In the 1980s, this is going to have the Quaaludes.
TMZ claims to have seen legal documents in which Cosby says exactly that. They're supposed to be part of a deposition that he gave in a lawsuit filed by one of his rape accusers, Donna Motzinger. Cosby allegedly admitted that he got prescriptions for the pills from an OBGYN during a poker game at his house sometime before 1972, and he refilled it seven times, and he never took any of the pills himself. Motzinger claims Cosby drugged and raped her in 1972. Josh, you'll notice some people just can't get away from the pop culture of Cosby. You see?
That's it. You know what?
Understand the irony here.
The pop culture. Yeah,
I do. Yeah. The OBGYN had his license revoked in California in 1979. Cosby's trying to get the lawsuit dropped. Cosby, in case you didn't know that, played an obstetrician on The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
That was a nod to his old buddy who hooked him up with the drugs, I guess.
And he drugged them in spoons of Jell-O, right?
No, stop it. It was pudding.
I'd like to point out I didn't do pudding, Bob, although I really, really want to. I somehow just don't feel that is the right thing to do, but that's me. Here's something great for you. Not for you, Rob, but for anybody that's going to hooch. Absolut Vodka just teamed up on a new product called Absolut Tabasco.
Oh, yes. What a bad time to be sober.
It's a spicy vodka. I'm all in. They didn't just dump Tabasco in there. It's made with Tabasco pepper mash, the stuff they start with when they make the sauce. They describe it as medium heat, so not too hot. But the first ad for it features four people drinking it next to an active volcano.
Josh, let me tell you about another guy. And he might be on this show or maybe he doesn't. But when he used to fly first class early in the morning, he would have something we like to call a tomato martini, which was vodka and just enough Mr. or Mrs. T mix to change the color and then celery
stick. Flavor. Tomato is a very omnipresent flavor when you add it to anything.
But I'm thinking, I don't mind, back in the day, I didn't mind a spicy Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I like the heat. If you were to make my tomato martini with a little splash, there might be an outside shot that, I just don't. I hate to disappoint people, but I really don't hooch it like I used to. Friday was an anomaly for me when I went out and, had multiple cocktails. But that product, for a Bloody Mary, amen. Yummy in my tummy.
I think that's smart. I mean, I think it's a good use of it. Is it still going to be 80 proof?
I'm not sure. They describe it as a medium heat, so not too hot. But the first ad features, these people that
By the volcano.
By the volcano. It's smooth, they say, accented with a heat that builds, leaving a warm, lingering tingle on the lips with every sip. It's 76 proof, Rob. That's what they say.
Okay,
38% alcohol.
They had the mash, the pepper mash, probably knocked down the alcoholness a little bit.
He still knows the percentage of alcohol.
Mike, I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it.
Available nationwide starting now, but don't get tempted in case you
It are. Sounds like, Mike, in food circles, what they would say is that vodka has a nice backburn.
Backburn,
a mild heat.
Now, finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 51-year-old guy in Florida got arrested after he walked outside in a residential neighborhood and, how shall I put this, he enjoyed some time with a vacuum cleaner. his name, Kevin Westerhold. It happened last Thursday in a gated community in Kissimmee.
Oh, how far is that from you?
Well, I believe in a gated community, you can do whatever you want.
That's true. Not really. Not fish. Let's see. here's the name of the community, Windsor Hills. Yeah. Windsor Hills Resort. They do that sometimes, too.
Oh, that's nice, too.
To make it sound even more special. He and his wife own condos there and rent them out to Airbnb. It's right near Disney World. You get some good deals on those condos near Disney. Cops got multiple 911 calls about a guy exposing himself. It's not clear if he was outside his own place or a neighbor's. He was gone by the time police got there. A witness says Kevin was half naked. And they got some footage of the hoovering. It turned out multiple...
Excellent gerund, Mike.
It turned out multiple neighbors reported a naked man back in December, and there is footage of that as well. No word on whether any appliances were involved in that one. Cops got a warrant and arrested him on Tuesday. He's facing one charge for exposure of sexual organs. Yeah. Well, that sucks. I have two more because that wasn't all that good.
I'm sorry. I thought we were going off on that one. Okay, go ahead.
Good news. He's now a master vacuumer. He even has a name for his vacuum, Rob.
He does? What is the? What does he call his vacuum?
Curly. Now you can play the music. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I think, Mike, this is a good opportunity to remind people as we get ready for spring cleaning, change that bag.
Yes, change that bag quite often. I am very excited to tell you about our sponsor, Avocado Green Mattress.
Love it.
Avocado. Avocado certified organic mattresses, pillows, and solid wood furniture are made without harmful chemicals with thoughtfully chosen materials designed to support healthier living and more restorative sleep. A great mattress is the key to great sleep, and the Avocado mattress can give you the best sleep of your life. Better sleep changes your mornings. Your energy can improve the rest of your day. Invest in your comfort, people. Every product thoughtfully made with the planet in mind. So you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you bring into your home. Plus, easy financing options with a firm to make your purchases smooth as silk. And best of all, no regrets ever. Avocado sleep trials of up to 1 year ensure you're getting the best mattress for you. Avocado, dream better. And now they're having a great sale on mattresses. Go to avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS to get up to 15% off. That's avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS for up to 15% off mattresses. Avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS. I said it a third time because you can use the snooze.
They've been a great partner. And if you're shopping mattresses, you really should look at this stuff. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
There is trouble in the Potomac River. Trouble. And I call that T with a couple capital T, trouble in that. That's up near where Rob lives, and it's really nasty because there's poo involved. You poo, Tinky.
Mike, I always enjoyed when I was working in Washington, D.C., when they would issue a boil water advisory, meaning it wasn't safe to drink the water unless you boiled it. We've not reached that yet. They say it's still safe, but I want to show you some footage. News Team 4 actually covered this.
Hundreds of millions of gallons of raw sewage has been spilling into the Potomac River after a pipe collapse. Now officials tell News 4 they won't be able to stop that flow until sometime next week. That means 40 million gallons of sewage a day. News 4's Mark Seagraves shows us what could end up being one of the worst environmental disasters in our region's history.
This is the scene from Chopper 4 today, where the raw sewage continues to spout from the broken pipeline. The massive flow of sewage running through this creek bed along the CNO Canal and then into the Potomac River. The sewage clearly visible along the shoreline.
God.
The break was discovered Monday.
Look at it.
Pumping raw sewage into the river at a rate of between 40 and 60 million gallons a day.
Near
Lock 10, where the sewage flows into the river, warning signs have been posted by the
Park Service.
I always wonder about raw sewage. If they had the time to cook it.
I love somebody writing Schitt's Creek there. That's funny. what is the deal? Exactly. You're up there. Have you been following this story? I mean,
what happened
so
is
DC with nothing happening to anything, right?
With the ancient infrastructure, the cold has actually made the pipes weak.
How?
And because of that, they bust this artery, I suppose.
Well,
busted.
I know what the problem is.
But how old is this story?
This story
because there's no
is
snow.
They're still going. This is footage from last week, but the story is still going on today. This is the best summation
of
the story.
Are they not doing anything to, I mean, isn't there some sort of valve that they can chop off, Mike, at some point?
They've done that. The best they can do, they're rerouting the poop.
Flowing by. Wow. John Lyle with DC Water tells News 4
here we
crews
go.
Are working to bypass the break in the pipe to divert the sewage into the canal, but that will take until next week.
There's no doubt it is a significant spill. Our there you focus go. Right
that's
now
all I need. That's all I need from that asset. There's no doubt, as you will notice, it's a significant with the shit. Everywhere. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, hey,
come
hey.
On.
Wow. You would think you could go right where the bubble in is happening and do wrap something around the pipe.
The show today, I would like the name to be Bubbling Is Happening.
Bubbling is happening? Okay, good. Right. Mike,
Josh,
you'll be pleased
to
know.
I'd like to point out that on my shot, at least, when you lean down like that, it appears that the flames coming out of the Mike O'Mara Show logo are sticking up your nose.
Okay.
I just was noticing that. It's just a little decay. Are you looking at the same shot I'm looking at?
I am. I am. I think it's beautiful.
Mike, into the flame.
You should know that a water sample taken near the site of the rupture had extraordinarily high examples of E. coli, 12,000 times higher than the recommended limit for human people. 12,000 times. Also, bacteria 60 times higher than what is considered safe. But the water is still, DC water is still safe to drink. So stay hydrated, folks.
Nothing worse, in my opinion. Nothing worse.
I know.
They even have a, down here, I don't know if they have that up where you live, Rob, but Josh, they probably have it up near you, where they call it recycled water. It's like got sulfur content.
It's what they use for the landscaping.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it smells.
It's so gross when you see that. And, you know, trust no one when it comes to water sources and everything. But when you look at it going into, do you ever wonder, like I do sometimes, like, why is there a pipe there anyway?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why is there a pipe under a body of water in the first place?
I think also DC had plumbing before it grew up into a city. So they had to work around the plumbing. Yeah.
And so, which means originally, that was just probably
that's where it went
into the river.
Yeah, right? And we'll send it down. Mike, I want to also mention the poop sleeper cells. I know they didn't get to that in the television story.
Okay.
Much of the sewage may be locked in ice at the moment. Uh-huh. The river keeper says that he's unsure what the effect will have when it is released later or what will happen this summer with
that's
the sewage
a
has
cool
settled
name.
Into sediments and gets stirred up.
That's a cool name, river keeper. Sounds like a guy that ought to have one eye.
I'm the river keeper. We don't have temperatures above freezing for at least another week up here. So all that stuff is going to stay frozen fresh, just like Clarence Birdseye. But as soon as the springtime comes, I think we're in for a very, I'll just say this, enjoy the cherry blossoms.
You know, back in the day when I would spend lots of time on boats on the Potomac River, or as our friend Nodak said, the Potty Mac, I remember that I would, there were several locations where there would be like a restaurant, and then you pull your boat into the shallows,
yes,
and then you'd have a beer and you would just stand in the river.
Yeah.
I was never really comfortable with that. It was always kind of, because the Gribblies, you think about, I mean, they're both nasty. The Anacostia and the Potomac outside of D.C. are both like potty rivers, right?
But remember, it didn't stop the Olympics from having events in the Seine, and the Seine is just as bad.
Yeah,
the Seine is another old city that has poop flowing all through it. So
this will poop off that one guy. I had a boat.
Yes,
I owned a boat.
That's
and
right.
Now you own a yacht,
and now I own a big, big yacht. No, I remember I would take my boat up to the Potomac River, up to National Harbor.
Right.
That's where like Tony and Joe's used to be. Right.
That place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, you would have to slow down to a no-wake zone going by the city of Alexandria, they'd say.
Oh, it's a beautiful city, actually.
Rob, that water.
Oh, I know.
Nastiest, horrific, you know, ye olde Alexandria. It's
growing
gross.
Up, we had well water, but the only other water we would touch is water that we drew out with a bucket from Fletcher's Boathouse.
Oh, man, there's some good stuff. Man, tastes like pee.
It really does. But anyway, you know, if you want to know what's going on in D.C., just be comfortable that our infrastructure is as strong as ever.
All right. Before we get out of this segment, I have to bring it up because the doomsday clock has been on your
mind.
I've heard it at multiple other sources. And we like to, as we approach the end of the week, wrap things up here and put a bow on it.
This is countdown to nuclear war.
The countdown to the end of everything.
Destroys the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ready for a prediction? We will be attacked by Great Britain and China. I read the news. Anyway.
Mike, the doomsday clock was established slightly after World War II, and they gave, I think at that time, the world 7.5 minutes or 7 minutes because, you know, we'd had atomic energy.
Explain why. So, like, they'd all blow up in 7.5 minutes?
Well, no, if you just look at, you know, the countdown, of course, it's not going to literally be 7 minutes, but,
Explain it. We're counting down. I don't even know what the hell it is.
We're getting closer to the end.
How do they do the countdown?
They just started at 7 minutes when they started it, and they've worked from that since then.
Yeah.
When things get worse. Like. Yeah, it's sort of catch as catch can.
So when there's national turmoil or world turmoil, they shave minutes off the clock? Yes. Is that what
it is? Exactly. I don't think it's ever gone up. It's always gone down.
Okay. So what's the clock at now?
Well, let's look back over a few years. In 2015, it was 3 minutes to midnight. That's not bad.
And midnight
right?
is, of course, the go time.
That's right? when we end, yeah. In 2017, 2.5 minutes till midnight. So in 2 years, we lost, what, 30 seconds? That's a rate we can't keep up. In 2018, 2 minutes to midnight. In 2020, 100 seconds to midnight. 2023, 90 seconds to midnight. And as recently as 2025, 89 seconds to midnight. So they revealed this week that there is a glimmer of hope, they say, but they still have the time, and I should have it right here in front of me. I don't know what I'm an idiot. Sorry about this, fellas. It
you
is at 80. Mike, I do. As a matter of fact, I do.
Okay.
It went from 89 seconds to 85 seconds. So that is a smaller increase. So maybe we can at least make it through, like, maybe our kids' lives without the world imploding. But, I mean, we've got...
We've got
unrest between countries that have nuclear power. There's lots of stuff going down. And frankly, you know what? I don't like that number.
Well, they've added climate change and AI to the clock as well.
Yeah, we're all headed towards doom, Mike. And what I would do if I were you, if you're nervous.
Carla, come inside. Carla?
Oh, no.
Come inside, darling! Come inside, darling! We dodged one there. Wait a minute, there might be a second wave. Here it comes! Help me! Help me! Help me, help me, help me!
Mike, if you're upset, the best thing to do is to go to Washington, D.C. and have a nice glass of water.
It's coming back, Brad! It's coming back!
Just curious, do you think we have enough stupidity at the high levels all over the world? I'm not just talking about the United States, all over the world, that it really could end just like that?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
I can't feel my legs. Anyway. thank you. Very good. Hey, jerks, listen to me. I've got... Aren't the segues great on this show? I've got a treat for you. You got to see our story at MikeOberaShow.com. Almost all the TMOS merch has been marked down. We slashed our prices to make sure we have room for our new 2026 merchandise because that's what retail outlets do in January and February. Yeah, we'll have items with new designs coming. Be the first to grab a nice beaver t-shirt, our biggest seller so far. With Valentine's Day coming up, you need an I Love Mike, I Love Josh, or I Love Rob shirt. Do we have any statistics on who's winning?
You don't want to hear it.
I do want to hear it. Tell me it's you.
It's me, followed by Rob, followed by Mike.
Yeah.
Well, I told you, Mike, you didn't want to hear it.
That doesn't please me either.
I think Josh, Rob,
Facebook post will change things.
I don't want to hear it, but I need to hear it.
That's true.
I need to hear
Mike,
it.
Mike, yeah. It's reality. Mm. Quit being so soft.
Like a zeer. Like a zeer.
Exactly.
Let's see who loves the most. Oh, we already mentioned that. Hey, so he mentioned that. Okay, you don't have
still
to put
get a
that.
Bronze.
You don't put that in the copy. I will do that on my own. I don't need that.
All right.
Thank you. Plus, hats, coins, auto accessories. They'll hate me for doing that. I jumped on Rob again. Sorry. Towels. We have towels?
We've got beach towels and golf towels.
Oh. Yeah, from last summer.
And hopefully soon, hand towels.
Are we still selling these?
We are.
Okay, mm-hmm. You can get one of these. Yeah. I'm wearing one right now, a brand new one.
I took the stickers off.
I'm going to get in trouble for doing that, by the way, taking the stickers off it. Because Carl, we could sell that.
Oh, you still can.
Yes, I know. Oh, yeah, game worn.
Yeah, a factory second signed by broadcaster Mike O'Mara.
There's some DNA in there.
And of course, Charlie's Choice Coffee had that this morning. Remember, the best part, everything you purchase is guaranteed to get me a larger home. And it supports
the cause.
You're
the worst. You know you're the worst.
As far as selling things?
No, yes. Just being you.
Please buy the merchandise so I can again go to the Masters Golf Tournament. That's right. No, hurry up and help the show you love. Just click store at MichaelMerritShow.com. I want to buy my kid another e-bike. I want to get a brand new driver. I want to get a bigger house. And I want to buy a Lamborghini.
Now, Mike, when you say driver, do you mean a golf club or a chauffeur?
Both.
Yeah, good.
MichaelMerritShow.com. It's there, the store. The source for all things TMOS. It's official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And by the way, if you can buy my t-shirt, even if you don't love me, do it. All right? Please. Yes. Irony. That's what it's called.
And it's fun.
It would also be an apology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
It would be another apology for me that I deserve.
And an affirmation of the fact that you are loved.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry. I should probably recommend you buy the other two guys, too. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know what's great is a complete set.
There you go, both sides again.
Yeah, I know, both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, why can't you mean what you say and really stand by it, Mike?
Sorry. Okay, real quick, we have a brief amount of time where I just want to cover this. My kid hops in the car yesterday when I pick him up, and he is saying, he's talking about a particular teacher, won't mention the subject, won't mention the name of the teacher. I will simply mention he thought this was mean, and what's cool about it, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about another kid who was really, really upset, and this is his toughest teacher he's talking about here. This teacher has a reputation of being tough.
A male or female teacher?
May
not ask that. Okay.
So anyway,
it's 2026. You can't ask that.
You can't do
I'm
that.
I'm sorry
Rob.
About that.
All right.
Okay.
I know it's important to you, but it's not appropriate here. Let me just say that he hops in the car. He says, this kid comes into the class. It's late in the day in the class, and they're handing in homework, which they get graded for, whether they turn it in or don't turn it in. It's a big deal, part of their grade, you know, like any class. This kid informs the teach that his homework's in the locker. He just needs to run out and get it, and she denies that. Says, you should have had that ready. That is, and then he indicates, my son says, that the kid was very, very upset, and that the teacher was saying, okay, you have your homework, and you have your, and there was an atmosphere of perhaps highlighting everyone else having their homework.
Shaming this kid that didn't have his homework. Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I lean on the side of the kid. I think let him pop outside. If he did it and it's in his locker and it was a momentary oversight. As someone who backs teachers all the time, I'm kind of leaning towards team kid on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you agree with you. What's that?
Why are you team teacher?
Outside of the shaman, I don't think the shaman should be there.
Is that some sort of spiritual leader?
Yeah, there was a shaman in the classroom, Mike.
Well, I think it's you teach that kid responsibility and preparing for class, and he did not come to class prepared.
Oh, my picture just went blurry. Yeah, but
he came to school prepared, and did that teacher ever have a day where she or he or it didn't have a mistake? People make mistakes, and if it's a tiny mistake, like what?
I'd like to know the track record of the kid. Does he always leave his stuff in the locker?
I don't know that. That I don't have the answer to. I know the kid is very concerned about his performance, like Michael is. And, you know, that's it. But I thought, you know, it was just interesting that I like it when Michael shows the empathy chip.
If they're at the age where they have stuff in a locker and they're going back and forth to different classrooms and you just forget to grab your homework, it's absolutely acceptable to get a second chance on that, I think. And especially the fact that if anything was done to point out that he messed up, that's really not okay.
Yeah, that's
okay. But as far as the main situation, were I a teacher, I would try to be empathetic enough to let them go grab it. It's not like they're trying to dash it off while they're out leaving the classroom. The stuff is done. It's in the school. He just needs to grab it. So.
I find that, you know, especially if it's just around the corner, I mean, that technically means you have done the job. You've done your work. Yeah. I can't do my work. So anyhow, that's that. So be aware of the fact that there are some meanies out there. And I think that was a meanie. And, you know, my kid's got a little empathy. And I think that's very sweet that he did that. But be aware. Teachers can be difficult. That's what that
I took
was.
Took a meeting with one of Julia's teachers in elementary school with Carrie, and we came home and Julia said, how'd it go? I said, you're just gonna have to put up with it because she's a bitch. Mm-hmm. And she was. She was not even listening to reason. And I hate the notion of the fact that a teacher would take the job to have some sort of power or control issue, but that's what I saw there. You know, I'm the boss.
Yeah. With Catherine's first grade teacher way, way back when. I'd still like to say hi, Myra. Anyway, thank you. We'll be right
Robert
back.
Robert had one of those. Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
I said, Carrie, don't we need another parent-teacher conference with her?
And she was super nice as well. Nice. All right, stop it, perv. Old perv. Anyway, hey, pretty obvious that a podcast is the fastest way to share your mission. You can build trust. You can show the human side of your brand. Every business has a story. Who's telling yours? At the Podcasters Warehouse, they handle everything. Gear, recording, editing, publishing, promotion, grammar. No tech headaches. No wasted time. Nobody got my joke. You missed me.
I got it.
Thank you. All right. You just show up. The Warehouse amplifies your voice. Podcast drive results, stronger connections, real leads, and loyal clients. Whether it's an in-house podcast, a tool to promote your business, or just you talking about the things that are important to you. Every show is custom built for your needs with studio quality audio and video, plus social clips, thumbnails, and transcripts, kind of what you see on this show. If you want that look and you want that content, you can get it. The Warehouse handles it all. Your voice, our warehouse. It's not a platform. It's your production team. And it's a team that will personally care about your product. Let them build your podcast. Visit thepodcasterswarehouse.com, just like The Ohio State University.
Precisely.
Thepodcasterswarehouse.com.
The only one, yes.
To book your free intro call, because your story is too good not to tell people.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry.
Oh, Mike, you love this jingle.
More music, more fun,
W-E-A. Why do you keep pointing at me?
I don't know. What do you have for
because
us?
Because when you do that, it makes me think you're not hearing what I'm playing. It
no, I did. I was just rehearsing my cue, seeing if I can do it better.
Okay, Mike, AI is something again, isn't it? Everyone's doing it. This is the first one that flips me out a little bit because at the base of it, it's kind of weird. This is an AI egg telling you how to cook an egg.
Hey, I'm an egg, and today I'll show you how to cook me correctly. Which is kind of weird, because I'm literally the egg. First, you put me in cold water. It's not terrible, it's actually kind of relaxing. Like a little spa moment, before anything dramatic happens. Okay, I'm in the water now. It's getting a little warmer, but I think everything's going to be fine.
Oh, no, you took him out. But don't you see the sort of almost cannibalistic nature of that?
Can you bring it up one more time, please?
Here's the egg.
I can handle warm. It's boiling now. I'm not going to lie.
It's a rough way to go. Mike, people are people. So why should it be that I hate these people more than anyone else? We've been in a genuine cold snap and winter weather advisory for almost a week here.
Yeah, cold and, down here too. Colder than it's been in over a decade.
And how do they make it better in New York City? They organize a huge snowball fight. I hate these. People in Brooklyn are making the most of a monster storm across the U.S.
Why do you hate this, Rob? Because it's outdoors?
Wait until you tell the people.
I hate this.
Good. Thank you, John.
I think that's not a snowball fight. Bit of levity and lightness, and to remember that, you know, we're all community and to look out for each other and look after each other.
To both of you.
So it's great to see that happening.
All right. Stop being old, curmudgeon-y farts.
I just got hit in the head.
It's young people.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It's young people getting together and having a group snowball fight. What could be more fun than that? What's wrong with you two?
They should be at work.
Yeah.
There you go.
And also,
that's
Mike, what about
the
injuries?
What?
Yeah. What about the injuries of a snowball to the face? That was not a light, fluffy snow.
Oh,
you know.
Come on. Let people be people. Let them be grown-ups. That's why I like Vegas so much.
No, they're too old to be out there doing that.
Really?
Mike, I think a Las Vegas snowball fight might be pretty good. You have to bring the snow in. But
if I was driving through and I was in my car and I didn't have because look. I'm not young enough to get out there and do it. Let's look up the word fall risk. But here's the thing.
Hit him in the hip.
I'd love watching it. It would be super fun. If they cracked my windshield, it would be a totally different
story. Mike, if you look back, it lacked organization. And that bothers me.
Years ago, I was much younger. I was probably a teenager. Yeah. And, we would have spontaneous snowball fights. And then I'd look at the kids that were a lot smaller than me. And I'd say, you're going to cry. You're going to cry.
Christmas story.
And then I got really badly. Ralphie really beat the crap out of me after that.
How long were you stuck to that pole?
Oh, it was terrible. I was like, guys. Guys, and then they all went in, and the fire department had to be called.
Yeah. All right, let's close with this, Mike.
Okay.
Cops get called to a bank because of a broken window, and it requires investigation. You certainly don't want to have a bank with a broken window.
No? Of course.
Yeah, watch your head, buddy.
Yeah.
So he's actually going into the bank through the broken window.
He has antlers, so just a heads up. You know what I mean?
And there is a huge deer in the bank.
Wow. Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. Oh, let it out. Oh, man, that poor thing.
Yeah, I'm not laughing.
Oh, no. Does it get out safely?
It did, Mike. It turned out the only reason it broke into the bank is that he just wanted a couple of bucks.
Bada bing, bada bing. See, he waited all week for that. How long did you sit? Just tell me how long did you sit on that one. I'm curious. Come on now.
Think Tuesday?
There you go. I knew it. Makes me smile. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a bonus show tomorrow. And for all of you bonus show subscribers, please get that microphone out of my way. My God, it's blocking my shot. Hey, everybody.
Mike, where's your boom operator?
Hey, everybody. I just want. No! I'll do a Rodney Dangerfield. Hey, is this thing on? Hey, all right. Yeah, you got to try them out on the road first. All right, anyway, we'll be back with a bonus show tomorrow. Thanks for your support with that. And, be like some of our listeners have. Gift a bonus show subscription to somebody you'd like to have.
It's a lovely
listen
thing.
Listen to the show and watch the show and, go to, what's that place we go to get it now? What's it called? That
Supercast.
Supercast. There it is. Please do. Having trouble ending the show today. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Mike, let's see your shot more. You're at sort of like a 2/3. Can we see you at like a 3/4?
You want to see
for
my
your shot?
Shot? Yeah. Right. Put your hand up to the screen right there. Yeah, there you go.
Hey! Yeah.
So long, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, folk.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
Cotton nail bath tissue.
That will never happen again, and I'm sorry.